Good morning and welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday. The last show for August would have been week one recap in high school football, but that will occur in just a few weeks from now. First, let's thank our financial benefactors, none bigger than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Check out their new location along the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with convenient drive-up services. And also, they're always open online at caclfcu.org. Voted the number one lending institution for the past 6 years. Why? Because you won't find a better...
Wow, you turned me off already. Fiduciary.
Relationship anywhere. Somebody left the one button down. Anyway, we figured that out, but don't forget Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy along the Tumbling Run Road in Pottsville, featuring the full line of whole milk, skim milk, 2%, orange juice, and those refreshing fruit drinks, including iced tea, and none more refreshing or more mellow than the new raspberry and diet raspberry. Summer's for sipping, so sip on, Schuylkill County. Also, BG's Value Markets with 4 convenient locations in Pine Grove, Millersburg, Jonestown, and Minersville. Freshest meat selection anywhere. If it was any fresher,
you'd have to slap it.
Indeed. Well, John, lots and lots of things happening around the world of sports. Oh, boy, there's a lot going down, sir.
A couple of weeks ago, I said it's like the Twilight Zone. It's worse than the Twilight Zone because if you sneeze, things change. You greeted me this morning with a question, do you want the good news or the bad news?
Mm-hmm.
And I said to a good friend yesterday when he asked me that, I said, is there a difference anymore? Is there a difference as to what's good news, bad news? It's news, and at different levels, whether it be high school, college, pro, people have a lot of decisions mm-hmm. to make, and there's a lot riding on this, a lot riding on it at every level, but it certainly has become bizarro world. We would have worked last night.
We would have been at North Schuylkill.
Absolutely, talking about first weekend in sports. Now, it is tentatively scheduled to begin on 9/11, a couple weeks yet to prepare. But, you know, Chaz and I go back to the last game we did down at, I guess we were in Hershey, mm-hmm. doing a playoff game, mm-hmm. when we were leaving that night, and we all talked about, wow, they could be shutting this down for a bit. It was, let's wait and see. Well, that was March. Mm-hmm. And here we are without having a sports broadcast since then.
Oh, we've had Legion game.
Legion games. Yeah, no, I guess I'm looking high school, which we normally mm-hmm. chase around. It baffles the mind to think it lasted this long, and there still aren't concrete plans at every level.
No.
Sometimes school district to school district. So we're going to have to wait to see and how it plays out.
And you know, it's interesting you talked about the decisions that go into this. And we're going to have the Schuylkill League president, Steve Toth, coming up at about 9:30 this morning to talk to him about some of the things going on with local sports and what's happening there. But, you know, you said this morning, you know, you're interested to see the decisions that happened at the school district level, right?
Absolutely.
You said that this morning. In fact, we tried for somebody to speak to this, you know, we'll talk to Steve Toth. That's the direction we were sent, and I don't disagree with that by the individual that said that to us, because, you know, sometimes some people aren't in a position where they can get it out. Now, me, you know, it's no mystery here. You know, people listening to Step Up to the Mic, even this program, understand that, yes, I am involved with a local school district, happen to sit on a board. And after last Friday, when the chaos, I guess you could say, at the local level started to really speed up, and nobody you know, had an idea of what schools were going to do. They felt their local school districts were going to move forward. They weren't sure. Some still, you don't know. We had called an emergency meeting, a special meeting of the board together, because amongst the nine of us, there were different concerns. So this past Wednesday night, we held a meeting of the board, open to the public. There was some media coverage there. And we had about two and a half hour discussion that revolved not only around sports, but the educational component. Do these two operate hand in hand? What's the viewpoint look like? And I've seen some anonymous callers in the print media, in the Republican Herald, in that anonymous phoner section, question these things. So we took two and a half hours. In fact, our superintendent has said to us, you know, boy, this should be required listening for people in communities so they understand due diligence maybe that went into making the decision for right now to let things proceed, and the amount of research that was involved in coming to that decision as a group, the amount of facts, the amount of areas that we reached into to look for answers, particularly from our local medical communities, who they're not going to commit to say yes or no, but in understanding the plans that they've endorsed for certain school districts, that is the safest model outside of a test. As long as those plans are followed, you know, they feel that that's the safest way you can deliver it.
And I agree with that. You know, we've talked on this show, Chaz, you and I, Eddie and I, we've talked about the idea you can't make these decisions without trained medical people. It's almost ridiculous to think, when I hear people saying, and they can get mad at me, but they say, well, let the parents decide. Let the kids decide. There's not a rule that we make kids follow in school that the kids get to vote on or the parents get to vote on. You get people involved with serious issues. You set guidelines based on the experience of trained professionals, and you step out and you say,
right,
here is our plan for now. It does not mean that you couldn't get thrown a curveball, but when you get the curveball, there also have to be people there who say, we were prepared for this. If this happens, then we're going to have to go to plan B, C, or D. That's what we need. It should not be left up to the court of public opinion.
Right. And I wouldn't necessarily say the good thing about this virus is that, you know, at the school district that I'm affiliated with, we've gone through it already. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had a case of COVID-19 affect one of the sports programs there. You know, there are some other school districts in the area who have had it as well. So you're kind of already through a dry run of it happening. Now you've been through the process and you feel, I wouldn't say you necessarily feel better about it, but you necessarily feel like I'm more prepared and I know the plan of action and the steps that need to be taken. And the big part of it is that, you know, if the plans are adhered to, and they must be, you know, I know you talked about the old wink and the nod. They must be adhered to, because if you don't, you're negligent. And if you're negligent, that opens up your liability. That's the way the process works should some liability fall down on a school district as a public entity. There has to be negligence for something to occur in order for that liability suit to be wide open. And if coaches and administrators and teachers and whomever don't follow the plans in place by their school district to the letter, you open yourself up for an issue because you're negligent. And in making a 2.5 hour conversation out of this, I don't think we were negligent in anything. I mean, you know, the medical providers offered hot zones that they thought were the danger areas of the sports happening. Transportation, locker rooms, equipment. You know, and our athletic director, Jim Gross, did a wonderful job of going beyond the PIAA recommendations or the health provider's recommendations in the resocialization plan and even the school's health and safety plan in addressing those areas and how North Schuylkill was going to handle transportation and locker rooms and equipment. You know, there was an investment into these shields inside of helmets that are full face shields that, go inside. They're you know, how many kids you're going to put on a bus, how you're going to space them out. Are the windows going to be down on the bus when you're transporting? All of these things are, is the equipment clean daily? Locker rooms, are we going to use them? Well, probably not for the bigger sports. Maybe just bathroom only, a quick stop if you need to get in there, get out. Maybe the trainer's table will be in there. Maybe that'll be moved outside under a tent. Or maybe in bigger sports, you know, you look to find portable shelters that are large enough in order to give a changing area, or the kids just come dressed when, you know, when the screenings are going to occur. All of this has been discussed by the athletic directors at length. So, I mean, this is all the moving parts to this whole thing. I mean, I don't think a school needs to kid themselves and think that if or if not, you have sports, or, you know, your kids are going to be in school hybrid or full-time, okay? I don't think anybody can kid themselves and say they're not going to get affected at some point by COVID-19. It's going to happen.
Absolutely, and again, people have to understand, you use a very important word there, Chaz, that sometimes people don't understand. Recommendations came down. It wasn't, this is the law, nope, and you must follow it. They were recommendations which throws it into individual school districts, and they aren't all going to do the exact same thing. The trick is, some people would like to separate education and sports. And you simply can't do that. I've heard people say, well, they played during the summer in this league, that league. Well, at least let them play sports all the time, even if they don't go back to school. I think they're missing the boat here. Without the educational part of it, there are no sports. Let's just be honest here. So this program that you're talking about, which is one part of the entire picture at any school district, must fit in with the overall plan also. And I'm glad you brought up the negligence thing. People can make mistakes. You can make, if you in good faith make a mistake, usually you're not going to be found guilty of violating something, some law. If it is because of negligence, then it is totally different. And just so people know, that applies to everybody in education, whether it's a teacher, an administrator. It comes down to negligence or malice, where you did it to get back at somebody. That's a very different area. But mistakes can be made. And again, there is no game plan that's been around for 25 years that takes districts in a certain direction.
You know, and, you know, you bring up that without the educational piece, high school sports don't exist. And I concur. However, on the flip side of that, to me, extracurricular activities, including sports, are a part of the educational process for the students who choose to utilize them. You have a choice in this. You know what the risks are entering any of it, whether it's the debate team, the football team, the robotics club, the Spanish club, the baseball team, the softball team, whatever. You know the risks inherently of what you're moving into when you either decide or allow your kid to participate in these things.
And I'll follow up with, you say risks and also the rules. Once the rules are established, then, as you said, a parent and a child knows the risk and the rules that must be followed. You can't go in and say, I still want to play, but I don't want to follow this. I don't want my kid to have to do this. You, that's what districts have to deal with at this point. There's a risk. You tell the parents. There's a risk to everything anymore. But there are certain rules, and you must obey those rules, or you cannot be a part of, and again, whether it's the drama club, the baseball team, or school. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. And it has to be done, my favorite two words, health and safety of our children.
Right. And when you look at these plans and protocols that are in place, you know, they're a way of guiding so you can have the health and safety protected. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to guarantee in anything right now that somebody will not contract this virus. It's just, it's too easily spread. I think most of our major colleges and universities, some closer to home, are learning, you know, how rapidly this can take off if people aren't following the rules and the guidelines of what's set forth. And I think that's the interesting part. I may blow your mind on this, John.
It wouldn't be the first time.
For the education versus sports argument, you know, to me, the most absurd thing the governor said was, I'll let you take a guess, what my thing,
they're going to do what they're going to do?
No. No. That wasn't the most absurd thing to me that he said. That was untimely. His bombshell of January 1st, untimely and wrong, should have had conversations before he said anything. The most absurd thing to me, and some people may not feel the same way. It's just different. My feeling is the safest way to incorporate sports in schools today with this going on was to have the kids 100% virtual and allow the athletics to continue. The governor said, I don't think sports should be happening if you're not in the classroom full time. My take is, if you wanted sports, the best way to go was the virtual option, because your teams are kind of siloed at that point. You know, they're not mixing in with the rest of your student population.
I know where you're coming from, and you're looking at the look on my face. And let's just talk about some of the most gifted athletes in the world. If everybody's virtual, you still can't control what they do, and we'll use a phrase that's around there now, outside the bubble. If you were able to put them all in the bubble, but after, 50-some years at Railway Park, 40-some years in education, you can do that with kids and bring them in and test them and so on for that 2.5, 2-hour practice. I think there's some kind of rule now about how long you can practice. But from that point on, for the rest of the night, sometimes for the weekend, people will be shocked. Sometimes kids get out in giant crowds on a Friday and Saturday night and mix with those kids that they go to class with. Now, they're all virtual at this point, but there's still a mixture. And I don't think it control human behavior beyond. And you even have people that are saying,
you can't do that in whatever model you're in.
Right, but people are saying, you know, so they're going to be okay if they're in football or another sport, because we're going to keep them, what was your term, siloed. Well, a silo only lasts for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And I can remember coaches in the area that'd say, well, you know, I always check on my kids at 11 o'clock. There's a curfew. So what do? We call their house. Well, everybody has a cell phone now. You don't know where kids are. And college kids, pro athletes who are getting paid millions of bucks, are sometimes behaving as crazy as a kid. So that's that part that is just, I think, too hard to control. What goes on after? And you could go through, we'll use Schuylkill County, you could go to the many meeting places, you could go to the mountains to find out where the kids get together on a weekend and so on. That's the tough part, that you don't know. So they're going to be mixing with the regular kids anyway.
Makes you antsy, right?
That's a tough thing. Well, does it make me antsy? Yeah, because I saw it all those years. I saw it. You know, I had one guy say to me, yeah, we used to have to take the pledge. And in our 4 years of high school, not one football player ever took a drink in the 4 years. My response was, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have a bridge somewhere in Brooklyn I want to sell you. Kids are kids. Kids are kids, and we see it all over the place. That's the tough part. And Chaz, you brought it up last week. Let's let this cat out of the bag. If the parents are saying, go ahead. Billy Joe's mom is having a big get-together for the X team tonight. So go. It's okay. We're getting ready for the season. That'll build all this kind of great team spirit. Go there. And you have four other kids who aren't involved in the sport there. You don't know what parents are there. That complicates the matter. Yeah, you're absolutely not doing your kid any favor. Your line last week struck resonance with a lot of people that I talked to who listened to the show. You were talking about going to the beach or going somewhere where there's a large crowd over Labor Day weekend. Your line was as simple as it gets. Stay the hell home. Don't do that. You run the risk of bringing something back and ruining all the work that districts, coaches, administrators have done.
Sure, absolutely. And that's the scary part. You know, in the whole thing, and this may, I don't know, come out wrong, maybe. I don't know. But in the end, you know, at this point, everything has been pushed down to local decision. It doesn't matter if you're a municipality, a school district, whatever. As far as, you know, everything with this and how you're going to move forward and handle this, it's all been a local pass down by somebody somewhere. Okay, it just keeps dropping until it finally falls on your local elected officials. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said it doesn't matter kind of how anybody says yes or no to moving forward with any of it. Schools reopening, sports happening. What's going to dictate how long it goes is the virus.
Yes.
The decision is going to be made for you when this occurs and the virus is present in your community, team, school, whatever. What's going to happen next? It's that easy. The decision becomes that much easier when you start to think, if you get one case on a sports team, that team shut down 14 days. You know, now as far as if you get one case in your school, that question is yet to be answered because it hasn't happened here yet. You know, what that magic number is, and that'll be something that the Department of Health will immediately be involved in because you have to report all of your findings when it comes to this nasty little bug to them. And they will take over and step in and provide guidance for you at that point. So, really, it's out of your control. If the team you're supposed to play this week ends up on a Thursday finding out that they have a student who's been exposed or has the virus, you're not playing that team Friday night. You know, the question is, what happens if the team is your previous week opponent? Well, boy, now you have some real things you need to pay attention to and follow through with. Make sure, you know, you're screening, you're finding out what's going on with your team because that team you played last week in a game, doesn't matter what sport, now it's there, and, you know, were we at an exposure?
And you don't know where that exposure is. I'm glad you brought that up. Because there are, and again, you may make a mistake. No kid goes somewhere with the thought that they're going to catch this thing and bring it back to the team or the school. They make a mistake. Mm-hmm. They may go somewhere they shouldn't go. Or parents make a mistake and take their kids somewhere where they probably shouldn't have gone if they really thought it out. It's a mistake. It's not done with malice. Is it reckless? I don't even know that it's reckless. You make a mistake, but that single mistake can shut down an entire program, as you said, quarantine 14 days. And I don't think people realize the gravity sometimes. No. Of that situation. So it is. I'll go back to your other term. Yeah, maybe for a while you got to put them in the silo. You got to put them in the silo.
Sure. And, you know, that's the other flip point to it. You know, would you rather not? Now, football may not be, I know that's the sport that everybody's clamoring about. Football may not have the same opportunities should your local school district decide to forego fall sports, as soccer, volleyball, cross country, field hockey. I know we don't have that around here. Lehighton may be the closest. to a point where kids can find, and families can find, other venues to showcase their kids. And that those venues, AAU or travel teams, whatever, are not following the same protocols as your local high schools are with their resocialization plan, with their health and safety plan for return to school, and the amount of following the issue as is going on. And that kind of opens more questions that should you shut things down here, the kids are going to go here, and if you have any in-person instruction, they're coming into your school on these days after being with people from all over the place.
Yeah, and they travel.
What's safer?
And they do travel county to county because you don't have that many traveling teams
and
within the
state.
County. Out of state, out of county, and I think, and this is a simple one, if you're a parent and, you know, it comes to that, you're going to have your child take part in, and I don't care if you call it AAU, traveling team, whatever you want to call it, it's contingent on you to talk to the people that are running the program and say, what are your protocols? Are you going to take the necessary steps to keep my child safe when they're part of your team? You have the right to ask that. It can't be willy-nilly just saying, well, you can't play in high school, but you can play here, and we're just going to wing it. That's not fair to your child or anybody else's kid.
I mean, my advice, and it's simply, again, it's my opinion, as has been the mantra of most people above local officials, is don't participate in those things right now. Just don't. I mean, I know that's hard to swallow with the way that things occur now collegiately, where maybe they're not so much following high school athletics as they do these other venues and other forms of. But right now is not the time for you to shut down your community, your school district, your sports programs at your school district because of your penchant and need for playing games, mixing with kids in travel formats. It's not going to be helpful. Your schools are now offering these things. It's a way for your kid to participate and do things. And, you know, hopefully with the advent of live streaming, if a coach hears about your child, they can watch. Hopefully all the schools will be live streaming their events. They can kind of watch your kid participating and evaluate them that way. And then everybody's not at risk.
Yeah, and I've spoken to people. In fact, a young lady last night, a volleyball player in the area, they're going to live stream all her team's games. And that's a cool thing. We do have that available to every school now. Every school can possibly do that so that you can watch your child or your grandchild or your neighbor's kid perform. So they're getting creative. I said, if nothing else, people's creative side came out because of this pandemic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And speaking of creative people, John, what do you say we take a time out? We'll dial up the president of the Skookle League, Steve Toth, and we'll ask him some questions surrounding all of this.
Tough job, tough questions.
Indeed. Well, we'll be back on Sports Saturday on AM 1360, 106 FM, and of course worldwide at WPPARadio.com. If you missed the program or you know somebody you want to listen, as some folks said last week's was required listening, go to the podcast at anchor.fm or also Apple, Google, Spotify, or any podcast retailer near you. Just search up WPPA Sports Saturday.
Sundays, 12 noon. It's the musical memories of WPPA Soft Sunday. And at 1 o'clock, a variety of the newest and best polkas, WPPA's Polka Time. Then at 3, We roll back the hits of the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So no matter your musical taste, we have you covered on AM 1360 WPPA, 106 FM, and on the web, WPPARadio.com. Join us.
Summer is here, and the folks at Gears Dairy are proud to introduce the newest member of their iced tea family, Raspberry Tea. The Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy along Tumblin Run Road. Gears Dairy Raspberry Iced Tea and Diet Decaf Raspberry are the perfect blends. Not too sweet, not too mellow. Perfectly refreshing. Summer's for sipping. On the porch or a day trip to the beach with the full line of Gears Iced Teas, including their newest flavor raspberry in half gallons and plastic pints. Sip on, Schuylkill County.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Welcome back to WPPA Sports Saturday. We'll see how Mother Nature cooperates in the city of brotherly love as the Phillies are scheduled to take the Braves on today. 12:40 pregame, 1:15 first pitch. We'll see what happens in that one. But we're now joined on the program by the president of the Schuylkill League, Dr. Steve Toth. Good morning, Doc. How's things in the land of running water?
We're doing all right. A little rainy right now, but, you know, we're moving through. We're getting through it.
Hey, Steve, if it's raining there, wherever you are, just crawl under the bus for a while, and that'll keep you dry, buddy.
This is true. Been under the bus a little bit this week.
Well, sir, lots have been going on. Of course, the release of football schedule, volleyball counts, local school districts getting together to decide what's going to happen. And at the end of it all, the Schuylkill League is still trying the best they can to make things happen, I guess is the best way you could put it.
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, obviously there's a lot of work that goes into this behind the scenes, number one. Number two, you know, the reason and the push for this scheduling cooperative is part of the reason why we wanted to do that, because of the problems that we're facing right now. We know that there's a wide disparity in classifications inside of our league. We know that there's schools with a small amount of students in their school. We know that there's schools with large amounts of students in their school. And that scheduling cooperative, I think, met the needs of every school, both in the Colonial and the Schuylkill League. You know, so the byproduct of that and the schedule that we put out is not ideal. We know that. We know that there are going to be scheduling issues. You know, and if people don't think that we knew that and understood that, you know, Chaz, you sat in meetings and as a press person, and we have really fruitful discussions, and it was put out there. Does everybody understand that there is a possibility, depending how things go with this, that, and the example was Tri-Valley Plattsville playing a football game. That was the example, which is not that far off with Tri-Valley playing Nativity in a football game. And nobody said anything. And the vote was 16-0. So, you know, we're sitting here. People had the opportunity to speak up then. The schedule was put out. It was leaked to the press by a football coach in our league, which, in my opinion, was callous and egregious, that created more problems. And here we sit. You know, we didn't have an opportunity to possibly address any of those issues that popped up. And then on top of that, you know, there's a lot of people who have to worry about school districts and schools that are part of this league. And may not see emails for a couple hours because they're worrying about getting kids educated. I mean, that's the first priority that we're in this business for, is getting kids educated. So there's just a lot of different intricacies that evolved with this process. Obviously, sitting here, wish it would have went better, you know. But here we sit, here we stand, and we just have to deal with it as best we can and move forward.
Well, for full disclosure, that media entity was not us.
No, it was not.
I know that for certain. But you know, the interesting part, before I let JP off the noose here a little bit, is you know, I think when the schedule was discussed and the, you know, crossover games, so to speak, because I mean, there was an eight team schedule that was refused, and then it was the 9-7 that was passed unanimously. The conversation was that the schedule for your crossover games would look like this due to traveling and going very far. You guys wanted to kind of regionalize the travel, keep teams close to one another, and playing these crossover games with the big schools and small schools. I'm correct in my line of thinking there, because
absolutely.
You can see it.
Yeah. The big thing, listen, if you don't think that there's a financial aspect to this as well, mm-hmm. there is. You know, the we're hamstrung with the fact that we're not getting people into the stands. You know, the governor made the declaration that no spectators can be at sporting events, and that's going to be a big hit for districts. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, you just say it as it is. Like, football is the driver for a lot of these athletic budgets, and buses cost money. Transportation costs money. So that, we tried to lessen that as a league to take, you know, some of the financial constraints into consideration. So, you know, again, that was discussed at the meeting. Nobody said boo. And here we sit and stand.
Steve, that's exactly where I'm going. I'm glad you brought it up about the meeting, the vote, what the vote was. People have to understand, this wasn't you and some committee dictating to all the schools, this is it, there's no arguments, like the Big Ten said, we're not playing. This was not the same thing. Everybody had an opportunity to talk about the realignment. Everybody had an opportunity to talk about who the prospective opponents could be. And it's important that people understand that that vote was 16-0 to go ahead with what you're doing now. And people have to understand that. They can't point the finger at anybody, except perhaps their own representative who was at the meeting, who may not have spoken up. Then they might have a little bit of an argument, but from the sounds of it, 16-0 makes it very clear they were all okay with this.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost like, you know, does everybody understand what's the possibilities here? I think I even said that. I don't want to say it was a direct quote, but it was similar. Mm-hmm. Does everybody understand what we're voting on? And it was kind of like, yeah, okay. And I will say this, JP, every one of the ADs, I shouldn't say everyone, most, overwhelming majority that were very vocal in this, wanted a schedule and wanted a schedule quick.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we provide. We gave the ADs necessarily what they wanted. They got games. The schools got you know, a schedule put together in literally less than 24 hours. I mean, that in itself is a feat. You know, you're... You know, Kyle, as much as maybe people might be overly hard on what he put together, he gave them exactly what they wanted as a group in total. Again, mm-hmm. like you said, 16-0.
Yeah, and that's important. And he's talking about Kyle Spotts from mm-hmm. Lee Heighton, who has taken a leadership role in this. And at the end of the day, Steve, a schedule had to be made. And I'm sure Kyle took into consideration everything you just said. Are there people out there screaming about mismatches? Sure. But that happens every year, no matter what the schedule is. But taking into consideration the other things you said, the cost involved one place to another, what it's going to cost the school districts by not having the same kind of schedule that they've always had, they did it in the best interest of the people who were at the meeting. And there's always going to be somebody who at the end of the day goes, well, you know, I wasn't for it. Well, then it should have been 15-1.
Yeah,
or
speak up, man.
14-2. Don't run up. Out of the meeting and later make a big storm about, oh, we can't play with these people.
Right.
It was put out in front of people, and I admire you guys for that. These are tough calls to make, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if this was ideal, you know, we'd be doing it every year. This situation is not ideal. I'm not gonna sit here and sugarcoat it. I'm not gonna blow smoke. I told you guys before, I'm not gonna dodge any questions.
Mm-hmm.
Be as honest and forthright as I can be, and that's just how I operate as a person, an individual, not just in this, but also in my professional life. You know, this is not ideal. We're dealing with the situation that this is a 1 year thing. I think people have to understand that too. Like, we're not moving forward after this year and putting this same schedule together. We know that there were some intricacies even with putting a cooperative agreement together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And again, listen, there's some neat things that are coming out of it too. Like Coach Frantz from Minersville messaged me, I want to say about 2 days ago when the schedule came out. He's like, how awesome is it that we get to play Pottsville? Haven't done that since 1933. You know, the fact that he even knew that, I know that he has a historian on his staff, Shane Schaefer, that likes to do these things on Twitter and you know, keep people abreast of things that happened in the past. But he's like, you know, this is going to be an experience for our kids that they may never get again. So, you know, there are also positives that may come from it. You know, you may want to test the mettle of your program by playing one of these bigger schools. And say, okay, you know, we play the bigger school. This is what we have to do to get better if we want to be elite in our classification. So there's a lot of different things that are negative, but there's also some positives that come about from this.
Right. You know, the interesting thing this year, as you say, it's not your typical year. There is no state championship gold probably even hanging in the balance at this point. The PIAA has said, you know, if they forego that, if they forego district playoffs this year, it's to give kids an opportunity to go out and participate. So,
yes.
You know, and the naysayers to that argument may say, well, what's the sense of playing if there's no championship? The sense is that the kids are actively active in some kind of extracurricular activity. Doesn't matter, be it football or anything else. At the end of the day, there's an 8-game schedule that hopefully everybody can get through, and it's more than likely, not going to say definitely, more than likely going to end on that date.
Yeah.
There's so, nothing. There's nothing more to it than this.
Yeah. You know, that we've talked before, and I've talked to you privately and on a show before about the social emotional aspect of this. You know, I referenced a tweet that Zach Ertz, you know, professional football player, tight end, Philadelphia Eagles, said about the hard times that he had when his parents were going through a divorce when he was in high school. And the one thing that kind of kept him outside of his own head was sports. So being involved in sports kind of was his way to release some of the frustrations, internal emotions. And he said, you know, I think probably some of his words, you know, brought coaches out to, you know, be more open and talking about, hey, we need to do this. So his open dialogue, I think, helped. And then it just kind of spawned and snowballed after that. There is a social emotional component to this. We're just trying to get kids to compete. And like Eric Rissmiller said from Pottsville, you know, we just want games. That's what we want. We want our kids to compete. We just want games. Because we don't know, like you said, we don't know when it's going to start, but there's a possibility that we don't know if it's going to end abruptly.
Steve, you bring up a great line. I love this stuff. All I've heard, all people have heard is, just give the kids a chance to play. That's all we want. We want them to get together as a team. We're family, but we just want to get them to play. So you go through a meeting. And it could have been contentious. I don't know. It doesn't matter anymore. And you come up with a plan for their kids to play. And then you have people saying, oh, yeah, but we don't want to play them. It's not just playing. Oh, no, never mind. We don't want to just play. There's a mixed message there. And I'll say it again. Chaz and I have been around mismatches for years. And guess what? Kids got to play. The program survived after getting beat 67-0 somewhere. They got a chance to play. So you can't all of a sudden, and this is why I admire you guys, they say, all we want to do is play. All right, you're going to play. Then don't come back and say, but I don't want to play Beelzebub prep. I want to pick my teams. You can't do it right now.
And to add to that, some of those 67-0 games have happened in the exact same classification of the two teams. It's not like it's been, you know, a fiesta based on your class size. I mean, this has been depending on the talent in the program at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, I kind of grew up dealing with this, having gone and graduated from Cardinal Brennan. You know, next to Lords, we were playing the big dogs. You know what I mean? You know, we were playing bigger schools. We were, you know, the smallest school in the county at the time, and that's obviously why it's not around anymore. But you know, everything that I could say when I was there at Cardinal Brennan, we tried to compete with everyone. And you know what? We had some pretty good football teams when we came through. You know, with Coach DeFrancesco, Coach Jabusky. You know, and we were in the playoff hunt, you know, playing teams, you know, that were bigger than us and larger than us. You know, Minersville, we played Minersville. They had three Division I athletes coming out of there. You know, we matched up. We competed. We put on a good showing. You know, we didn't win, but, you know, we competed. So that's really all I kind of have to say about that stuff, is just kind of going out, being a competitor yourself, having that inner drive and doing that. And not really worrying about how big, how small that person is across the line from you, or who you have to defend, or who you have to try to tackle. And you may find out something else about yourself as a person and as an individual by competing in that manner. You know, you might get better from doing that. You know, you might know that you need to get better after doing that and put more time in the weight room and do those things. So again, there's pro benefits from something like this as well. I'm trying to look at the positive nature of this because, to be honest with you, you know, all week I've been hearing negative. And I talked to Chaz personally. This has drained me. This has drained me all week. I don't necessarily like how it went down. But like I said, here's where we sit. Here's where we stand. And, you know, I've got the gumption to move forward. I hope some of the other schools do as well. You know, because, you know, one thing, I'm a fighter, man. I'm not going to go down. I may get knocked down, but I'll get back up and keep rolling.
You know, Steve, one thing you said in this conversation, which I got to thank you for taking time out here today on short notice, you said about the fans, and let's get this out in the open. The Schuylkill League as a whole is not allowing fans into any contests, correct?
That's correct.
So there you go. Those of you that were wondering or arguing, the governor's mandate is no spectators.
Mandate.
That was a mandate. So that will be adhered to. Do not come onto these campuses. Do not rent cherry picker trucks. Do not, because you're going to be asked to leave either by school officials or by police. So be prepared to deal with that, and don't get argumentative with them.
Yeah, and listen, we, you know, that's another caveat that is a piece of this. You know, as a parent of three children, I don't know how I could react not being there and seeing my son or my daughters, you know, in action and live. I think it's also a heightened sense when you're dealing with football, considering some of the chances and challenges that every player takes as soon as they strap on the equipment. You know, button the chin straps and, you know, get out there on the field. But, you know, to be honest with you, I would struggle wholeheartedly as a parent knowing that. And I really hope, and I know that our ADs are working on this, is trying to get any type of live streaming that, you know, for parents and fans to see their kids participate and compete. And I really hope that works out. But please know that we are also taking every type of step to have contact numbers for parents, you know, should anything kind of happen with injuries and everything like that. Because, like I said, man, I, as a parent myself, I don't know how, if they were high school age, I don't know how I'd be dealing with that right now.
Steve,
but again, I would want them to compete too, you know.
Let me take you back to your overall role. You are an educator, which happens to involve sports and a lot of other things. And you brought up something a little bit ago that I saw in my career when I was coaching. I still continue to see it. these outlets, and whether it's football, volleyball, the drama club, the band, whatever, these are very important to a lot of kids' mental health. Everybody doesn't come from the house full of the Brady Bunch, and they very often use those venues to become part of, and I'll use the term, a family, at least for a while. And that's so important that we recognize this. This isn't just about football. And I'm going to be honest, I was, the people who changed my mind were my girls' basketball team. I went from coaching boys to coaching girls. And they changed my whole attitude when I saw that it was more emotional. They grew closer. And it was the overall thought of being part of that family. It wasn't always the wins. It just wasn't there. And people have to understand that's a part of the education process that you're involved with first and foremost.
Yeah, you know, the socialization aspect of it, JP, is like there. I really don't have words to describe it. You know, and it doesn't matter if it's sports. It could be, like you said, band. It could be science club. It could be, you know, math counts. The camaraderie that transcends being part of something like that is sometimes lifelong. A lot of the people who, you know, my best friends are people who I have been in locker rooms with and shared competition fields and courts, and they've been lifelong friends, you know, till now, to my 42 years on on this earth, from Little League on up to, you know, where I am now. You know, also people who I've competed against, who I had respect, and they had my respect. You follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, like, you know, a lot of the people that I've competed against, you know, hopefully getting out on a golf course with some of those guys today, later on today, you know, if this rain ever stops. You know, so, like I said, it's a lifelong experience when you're involved in these things. And it is, you know, certainly, you know, one of those things that I think can't be missed in a conversation. Mm-hmm. And like our AD said, I just want to get games and a schedule filled for our kids.
Yep.
Like, that's really what it comes down to. I just want to get games and competitions for our kids.
You know what?
They deserve it.
You know what, El Presidente? It'd be remiss not to call you on this, but how about those that are older than you that had some input into your growth and maturity coming up through all this?
Yeah. A lot of impact. Obviously, you're one of them, my friend. You're one of them. You can't. You know, there's absolutely, man. Coaches, there's a lot of people who, again, I've been involved with, who coached me, who I've been friends with and have relationships after. And there's a lot of people who I have coached who I consider a friend now. And they consider a friend with me. And that's the bond. Like, the bond that you get from this thing called sports athletics is just absolutely awesome. I hope that we get an opportunity in the fall to have a sports season. Mm-hmm. I think we're moving forward in the right direction. And, you know, I wish nothing but the best. I know that there's hiccups, man. There's going to be hiccups in everything. But, you know, I have the resolve to hopefully move this league forward and get past this. You know, everything wasn't done with, you know, the stuff that was done was not done with animosity. You know, are there some things that I'm not happy with? Absolutely. But, you know, as a president trying to get the league moving forward, you know, reflecting, I think we'll grow from this as a league and be better for it.
Yeah, and Steve, if I could just jump in, one of the things, because I've had people say to me now, well, you and Chaz will get to see 8 games. You'll get to call the games. You'll get to be there. I'll tell you what has happened, and I'm doing it. I'll be my 4th year with the football. One of the things that people don't understand is the connection that I know it's going to be terrible for me that we have with the fans, the families. Last year, I used the phrase, it became famous, I think, out in your area. I said I became Tamaqua-ized during the football season. Because there was a closeness. We were treated, and I mean this, like royalty at every game. The Tamaqua family, fans, it was an exciting experience. It was the same at Pine Grove. Williams Valley, I think I'm related to half of them now. I mean, that's the part we're going to miss. Just seeing a game doesn't get it. Yeah. So I understand when people say it's not the same, but it's not even going to be the same for Chaz and I, because we're not going to have that personal connection with so many great people.
Yeah, it's in every nook and cranny, every school district and school like has their own little niche that makes it unique. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the fries and the stuff out in Williams Valley to the band in Pine Grove and Tamaqua. You know, the stadium, the old stadium in Panther Valley, I mean, that's just a great place to play. Men and Marion Stadium, you know, the history of Shenandoah. I could go on and on. Obviously, mm-hmm. I missed some schools, but, you know, Schuylkill County football is where it's at, in my opinion, in the state. It could hang with just about anyone. We've had people and teams go far into, you know, state playoffs, especially in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. We've had players go Division I. And the relationships, like you said, JP, that you built, not only with the players, but the relationship with the people that make each school district go are unique and awesome in itself.
Indeed. And Steve, we are up against it, and you took a generous amount of your rainy Saturday morning out to enlighten us on where we're at right now. We'll look to see what happens in the coming week. As, you know, there are some things hanging in the balance, but thank you for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday.
You got it, guys. Anytime, I'm going to go take some frustration on some golf balls today.
Attaboy.
We appreciate it, Steve. Take care.
All right. Take care. Right.
Remember, if you're at a certain course, keep them straight. There you have it. Steve Toth joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. We'll be back to wrap up the program right after this.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway, with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row. In Pottsville, and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Well, John, that's going to wrap up the program this morning as we get set to move on out for the Saturday morning oldie show. We got to thank Steve Toth. Don't forget Phillies baseball coming your way. 12:40, should Mother Nature not be affecting the greater Philadelphia area. Phillies on a four-game winning streak, look to make it 5 in a row today against the Braves. 1:15 first pitching in that one.
Happy wife, happy life. All of a sudden, the Powers household is happy 4 in a row. Although my guys lost 5 in a row now.
Yes, they dropped a pair to the Mets last night, John. I won't rub it in.
Oh, they lost the second game, too.
Yes, they lost the second game, too.
Making 6.
But anyway, we got to thank Steve Toth for taking time out and talking to us this morning about what's going on in the Schuylkill League. And don't forget, if you know somebody you want to hear the podcast, they can find it on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Anchor.fm. Got to thank CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Also along the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway, and always open at CACLFCU.org. The number one lending institution for 6 years in a row, because you won't find a better
fiduciary
relationship anywhere. Also, Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest full-service family-owned dairy along the Tumbling Run Road in Pottsville. Full line of milk products from skim milk, whole milk, the award-winning chocolate milk, orange juice, and the full line of fruit and iced tea products like raspberry, diet decaf, and regular, mellow and smooth for your sippin' summer. Sip on, Schuylkill County, and BG's Value Markets with 4 convenient locations in Millersburg, Pine Grove, Minersville, and Jonestown. That'll wrap up the program this morning here on WPPA Pottsville and Translator W290DB Pottsville.